there's this feeling that I want to do well. I want to do this the right way. And that is natural. And I think the more you can let go of it, the more closely you can focus on the learning. Because however it goes the first time or the second time, there's so much to learn. And I would advise that don't saddle yourself with expectations. Just enjoy the learning.
The Center for Understanding and Conflict welcomes you to The Other Chair, a monthly podcast exploring the dynamics of conflict and how to bring the human issues to the table. Together with our guests, we explore how the power of understanding each other can lead to better solutions for people on both sides of an issue. We will also share tips for managing your own mediation practice, approaching conflict in the professional world, and ways to apply our understanding-based model in your personal life. Hello to our listeners, and welcome to The Other Chair. My name is James Dykeman. Today's guest is Ivan Alter, a collaborative attorney and mediator with offices in Westchester County and New York City. He is a member of the New York Association of Collaborative Professionals, the Family and Divorce Mediation Council, the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals, and Northern Westchester Collaborative Divorce. A board member and graduate of the 2022-23 teacher training cohort at the Center for Understanding and Conflict, Ivan is now an understanding-based trainer who recently taught a course. Hello, Ivan, and welcome to The Other Chair.
Hi, James. Thank you.
Or welcome back, I should say. Welcome back to The Other Chair.
It's always a pleasure.
Likewise. So great to have you. So on today's episode, you know, we've got a new cohort, new teacher training group coming together in the next few weeks. A lot of people from a very diverse background are going to be coming in and learning how to teach the understanding-based model. And I think we could start there for their benefit. And maybe you could explain a little bit about your transition from program participant to one who now teaches the model.
You know, it's a year-long program, and the change over that time period is dramatic. You know, in the beginning, you really do feel very much like a novice in this, because for many of us, it's our first teaching experience. So we're not only learning a lot of content about how to teach the model, but also just how does one teach effectively? One of the, you know, one of the great things about the Center for Understanding and Conflicts mediation training is how impactful the training is on the participants. And that's no accident. You know, that's really good trainers that have really thought through exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it. And so having the experience of learning all that and trying to internalize and incorporate all of that over the course of a year was it was powerful. That said, at the end of the program, there's a sense of, okay, am I really ready to go out and do this? And you know, you're doubtful. But I got thrown into the fire, so I was able to put it to the test, so to speak.
And before we get to the fire, which I'm sure our listeners would be curious to hear about, let me ask, what motivated you personally to go from one who, you know, learned how to bring together parties in conflict using the understanding-based model to one who now teaches others?
I'm fascinated by the model, by the theory behind it. There's so much about it that is simple, but really counterintuitive. And my experiences in using it and how it works and how powerful it can be in practice really just made me want to talk about it more and more. And, you know, finding an audience that wants to listen and hear more about it was appealing to me. I had imagined maybe someday I might be involved in the training, and then this teacher training program just presented itself, and I knew it was something I had to do.
And what is it about the model that makes you want to talk about it more and more and more and share it with as many people as you can?
I think the broad applicability of the model to for people in their lives, their personal lives, their professional lives, their family lives, we all experience conflict and we all struggle with it. There, regardless of your conflict style, nobody likes it. And having really effective tools for managing it when it arises, because it will arise, it's amazing. It really is. And I think anyone who has used the model in their own lives or in helping others can attest to how powerful it can be when it works, because the nature of the resolution that it seeks is not, it's not compromise. It's far more satisfying than that. It really is about understanding what's important to people and helping them to find ways to satisfy that.
Conflict manifests itself in many ways in our personal lives, for professionals in the workplace and for practitioners who have made a career bringing together parties in conflict through mediation practice. Each month, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts live webinars with featured guests discussing best practices and sharing their experiences for tackling conflict using the understanding-based model. So take us into the fire. Your first, right? Am I correct? This was your first kind of real structured teaching experience.
Yeah, I had assisted with the center on a couple of occasions to kind of get a sense of what the traditional 40-hour training would look like and participate in that. But this was definitely the first time that I was in charge of any sort of a training, and it was not going to be the same format that that we had been taught in the teacher training academy, the 40-hour intensive. This was a law school who a former professor and colleague of mine in a local law school contacted me. He'd been teaching a mediation workshop there for years and was not going to be able to do it. And the class was already enrolled and ready to go, and he knew I had taken this training and that I was interested, and he said, "Would I do it?" And it was one of those things that presented itself, and it seemed like something I could not ignore, even though it was just days away and I was insecure about doing it, and I had a lot of time constraints. I knew that this was it felt like fate. So I said yes, and I endeavored really quickly to see how I could convert what I had learned about the model and how to train it over a 40-hour intensive period into a 13-week law school course, where we were meeting once a week for 2 hours, so a lot less time overall. And also some requirements that don't exist in the 40-hour training, because these are law students, there needed to be a much heavier legal content so that they would understand the New York laws and how they impact the work we do, and how one might use them. So it was a divorce mediation workshop was the name of the course.
And so you had a few days to take a 40-hour program that's been fine-tuned over decades, and bring that together with legal requirements for New York State, and then present it in a way that would provide value and illuminate students to go out into the world and have an impact. So how'd you do that?
So thankfully, I only had to do it in 2 hour blocks, and I got a week between each of them. So I sort of talked myself through I learned about it on a Thursday, and the first course was Monday morning. So I literally had what, like 3 days. But I told myself, all you kind of have to do is plan that first class, and then you can worry about the next one. And that's what I had a bigger picture idea of how I was going to do it and what I hope to cover in each class. But that really is how I went about doing it. I really took it one step at a time and one class at a time. And that was really useful because I didn't know how it was going to be received. And I didn't know what was going to work and what might not work as well. And so I was able to incorporate what I was learning in the classroom into my lessons throughout the semester.
Was there a part of your time with the teacher training cohort that helped prepare you for this situation to adapt not only the core content of the understanding-based model, but yourself and the way that you would bring this to this specific audience?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that one of the things that was very clear during the teacher training program was that this was not a script to be read, that in order to have impact, this had to be an authentic reflection of the beliefs and experiences of the presenter. And that changes how you present things, what modes of teaching you use, where you place emphasis, and what I was really pleased to learn during the teacher training program was that the invitation was to find a way to make this my own, to present this in my own unique way, because only if I was able to do that would I be a credible messenger for what I was saying. And I think that reliance on finding a way to deliver this material in a unique and authentic way to me, from me, was really helpful in taking on the task of adapting it into this law school format.
And so what was it like when you stepped up to, I'm assuming it was a podium, but what was it like day one? You come in, you introduce yourself, and you're staring at, these students, these law school students, and you take it away. What was that experience like?
So it was actually pretty funny. The very first thing I wanted to invite them to begin, as the 40-hour intensive does, with asking them to write down two words that about conflict, and then ultimately we were going to discuss that as we introduced ourselves. And so the first thing out of my mouth was, okay, everybody, take out a paper and something to write with. And this group of mostly young 20-somethings all looked around at one another, and one person had paper. And he started passing it out to the rest of the room. And I realized that I had announced myself as a dinosaur, and that the days of paper and pens had long since passed. And I corrected myself and said, any way you have of recording words, whether that be, your phone or computer, it was disarming, but I think it set the tone for me that I was not going to be able to kind of just in any way regurgitate what I had learned, that this was very much going to be an authentic discussion that I was engaging in with these students, and that I was going to have to be on my toes every step of the way.
Throughout the year, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts in-depth, basic, and advanced certificate programs designed to train you to become effective mediators and conflict resolution professionals centered in the understanding-based model. Our training programs have been the gold standard in alternative dispute resolution for 40 years and is popular within the legal community, with human resource professionals, ombudsmen, and corporate workplace mediation clients. Let's dig in a little bit to the meat of that experience in terms of what you were teaching and how you kind of laid it out over the course of the course. And you said it was what came out to about 26 hours, right? 2 hours a week for a semester. So would you mind sharing just a general outline of how you kind of structured that to take students through the process in addition to the other points that you had to hit while you were doing it?
Sure. Yeah, I was really focused on trying to blend different teaching styles and techniques. Some of it, you know, not I didn't want it to be too lecture heavy. I wanted there to be a lot of participation. I wanted them, you know, part of the way that the center teaches is say it, show it, try it, feel it, I think is the message. And the idea is that you really want to give these students, you want to show them how, not just tell them, but show them how it's done, give them the opportunity to try it, and really get them to reflect on what it feels like, because it is that personal relationship with the work that I think enables people to do it effectively. And so that's very different from the way most law school courses are taught. And, I first had to overcome, I think, their maybe initial discomfort or resistance with my attempts to do that. But they, as is the case, by the way, in the 40 hour, I think people are always a little uncomfortable about things like role play and self-reflection. But as you do it, you realize the benefit of it. And my law students were no different.
How did you encourage students to practice the concepts that they were learning both inside the classroom and then outside? Were there any opportunities for them to start like looping, for example, outside of the classroom with people to get a sense for how that process goes? You'd mentioned touching on some of the inner work that the center trains mediators to be conscious of. And I believe you may have said this last time we met, but I've definitely heard it from others who work in the legal profession, that sort of emphasis on your own feelings and presence in a situation and how it may be affecting you isn't really baked into the job as an attorney. And so what sort of experience did you have with students around those concepts and how did they respond to it?
I was very gentle with the way I introduced it. And I think I probably gave some disclaimers up front, because I know how I received it when I first heard it. And I think if I had been an even younger person and a law student, I think I might have been inclined to put up a wall right then and there if somebody started talking to me about the inner experience of being involved in conflict resolution. To their credit, they understood it. I asked them to write about it was one of the ways that I asked them to spend time thinking about it and trying to express their experience with it. And I got some really interesting and thoughtful papers from them on it.
If I understand you correctly, it sounds like this course was framed around matrimonial mediation or legal issues and divorce. And so were you teaching kind of the legal aspects of that alongside this conflict resolution as an alternative, but as part of this whole package? Like, you can litigate, these are some of the challenges. These are also, you could, you know, bring a couple who's facing divorce through conflict resolution work if they're open to that. Could you explain a little bit more about how those pieces came together?
Sure. So, you know, in order to mediate a divorce, it's really important that you understand and are able to help the parties understand what the law would say about it, not because they're controlled by it, but because it represents their alternative, right? What would happen if they went to court? It's also a point of reference that can be very important for people. What does society seem to think should happen in this situation? And if they are going to create a resolution that differs from it, which they almost always do, it's important that they understand the ways in which it differs from the one-size-fits-all model of a court-imposed resolution. And so that piece of it, what is the law, how to introduce the law, is part of the 40-hour training, part of what we do in a regular mediation training. And it was particularly important in this one because here I am talking to law students. And introducing to law students the concept of law as something other than the final word on something was also new to them, because up until this point, every course that they had, law is taught as the answer. And in mediation, law is a reference point.
This podcast is supported by our CUC Connect members, whose yearly membership includes free attendance to our live monthly webinars, 12 additional featured recordings of past training events, discounts to our basic and advanced training programs, and support from our network of certified trainers for continued professional development. Consider joining CUC Connect today and dive deeper into the understanding-based model. So I also understand you're going to be teaching a 24-hour basic mediation course in New York this year, right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it in the spring.
How do you feel your experience teaching these students, these law students, will or has helped maybe give you some insight in going into this teaching experience again with the center, but this time for kind of a similar audience, New York attorneys, practitioners?
That's a good question. I hadn't really thought about it, but I imagine that I am probably a little less nervous because, you know, with doing things, it comes a little bit of confidence. And I think that I agree with you. I think that there will be a similar audience in terms of the geographical background and the cultural perspective that New Yorkers bring to something. And I'm also hoping that it will be more diverse in ways that a law school class might not be in, you know, in terms of who these folks are and where they're headed.
Right. So what sort of composition did you get in the class in terms of you know, legal focus areas? I wasn't a law student, so I'm not sure how that's structured, but I imagine the classroom would be full of students who are heading in different directions legally. And you know, what were some of those that you saw, and what were some of the common reasons that they chose to take your course over some other elective course?
All of the students who took the course were in their third and final year of law school. I'm pleased to report that there was a long waiting list. Not that that says anything about me. As you know, I wasn't even supposed to be the teacher. I'm pleased to report it because of what I think that says about the future of mediation and the fact that this skill is something that appeals to people who are in law school now and feels important for them. In terms of where they were headed, some of them, it was very on point. They imagined themselves practicing matrimonial law, or they had a clerkship with a matrimonial judge, and they really wanted to learn how the, you know, for them, it was a very practical, how do I do this job? And for many of them, they said, no, I never expect to do anything with matrimonial law. I just thought the topic was really interesting, and I thought that it might be something that would be a valuable skill, which couldn't be more accurate, right? And that's, you know, that's one of the things about the model is the breadth of its applicability. It's not just about, you know, how to mediate a dispute between two people over, you know, some specific area. It really is how to navigate conflict in a different way.
So you're a New Yorker, you practice in New York, you've trained and have been doing work now, you've taught in the law school in New York. What is the future of mediation in the state from your perspective?
The mediation has, you know, just in the last 10 years, become a far more recognized and accepted method of dispute resolution institutionally by the court system. There are mediation panels that are maintained by the Office of Court Administration in the matrimonial sphere, in the commercial sphere, and cases are referred to, you know, judges refer cases out to mediators to attempt to resolve them as a matter of course now, which is remarkable and a remarkable shift from when I first started practicing law, when mediation was looked at kind of sideways. It wasn't really understood, and it seemed like a fertile ground for people to somehow not get their needs met, to somehow be treated unfairly and taken advantage of. And I think that the growth of mediation as a movement nationally, you know, I think it came to New York late in the game, as many of the more progressive legal movements have, but it is now looked at as a integral piece of the judicial process and a hopeful way to help people to resolve things without the need of court resources.
Thank you, Ivan. I've got one last question for you. You know, typically at this point, I'd ask what advice you might have for other people thinking about taking a training or starting a practice. But based on your experience with the teacher training program and the fact that we've got a whole new group coming in, a large group, what advice do you have for them to new practitioners or people from various fields coming in to learn how to teach the understanding-based model?
I think the best advice I could probably give is to not expect themselves to know how to do this when they start. I think that, you know, a lot of the program requires that people teach in front of one another and the instructors. And so there's this feeling that I want to do well. I want to do this the right way. And that is natural. And I think the more you can let go of it, the more closely you can focus on the learning, because whether you, however it goes the first time or the second time, there's so much to learn. And I would advise that don't saddle yourself with expectations. Just enjoy the learning.
Thank you so much, Ivan, for being here today. As always, appreciate your time, appreciate your efforts in teaching and bringing this work out into the community. And we will see you in Rye, New York this spring.
Thank you, James.
Ivan Alter is a trainer with the Center for Understanding and Conflict and has dedicated his professional practice to advancing and teaching mediation and collaborative law. You can learn more about his practice and the work he is doing to help resolve conflict by visiting www.ivanalter.com. Thank you to today's guest for being with us today and to our CUC Connect members, whose support enables the Center for Understanding and Conflict to bring new perspectives in the field of conflict resolution and mediation to you, our listener, in each new episode. You can find out more about today's episode, along with full interviews and additional information about conflict resolution and mediation using the understanding-based model at www.understandinginconflict.org.